Yes.
Okay, Petra, we did thank all of you who actually know how to set up the technology. Okay, what we have to do, basically my plan is this week to get through the Gemara. There's a lot of Gemara here that is not that much to say on it in terms of Lomdus and Brunnen, but nonetheless, it's important Gemara, and it's to some extent actually quite challenging as Gemara. The Gemara on Chafdim Omer Aleph is not as easy as we would like it to be. Again, so let's just review. We are learning the Gemara. And the Gemara begins with a machlokes between Chizkiyah and Rabbi Avoh about how to know stuff is asur b'hanava. Chizkiyah says, I know stuff is asur b'hanava because the Torah says, lo yei achel. It should not be eaten. And that mit al-fur tells me that it's asur both in Akiva and Hanava. Rabbi Avoh, however, has this idea that when the Torah says, lo yochal, it means Isser Akiva and Isser Hanava. That's Rabbi Avoh. And the Gemara went through a bunch of questions. Most of the questions are on Rabbi Avoh, although we had a couple of questions that are on Chizkiyah as well. And what we're going to try to figure out now with this next question from Chameitz is who is this question according to? So let's just go quickly. Barei Chameitz. The Rahman Amar, Lo Yin Afel Chameitz. By the Torah in Parshas, Bo. Right, speaks about the lo ye achel chametz hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. It says lo ye achel chametz. V'tanya Rav Yosef Gmili Amar tama ha'atlocha hey chametz asur b'hanava kol shenor. The Gemara says that Rav Yosef Gmili is saying tama atlocha. Right, you got to ask yourself a question: how could chametz possibly be asur b'hanava? Meaning, our Gemara is asking from the Shita of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili that Chametz is not Asur B'Hanava. How on earth could Rabbi Yossi HaGalili say that Chametz is not Asur B'Hanava if the Torah says Lo Yei Afeo, and Lo Yei Afeo should mean that it is Asur B'Hanava? That's like a strange expression. Rashi comments that Rabbi Yossi HaGalili is the diametric opposite of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. There's a Tana Rabbi Yehuda who says that not only is Chametz Asur B'Hanava, but even Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach is Asur B'Hanava Min HaTorah. Rabbi Yossi HaGalili says that Chametz is not Asur B'Hanava even all 7 days of Pesach. So, frankly, Gemara, how can we say that it's not Asur B'Hanava when the Torah says, Lo Yei Achel? So the Gemara answers, Shani Basam the Amakra, V'lo Yei Ra'eh, L'cha Sa'ar, Shalcha Yehe. Right, this is the same exact style that we had in the Gemara beforehand. V'lo Yei Ra'eh, L'cha Sa'ar. L'cha means it's yours, Shalcha Yehe, meaning it is not Asur B'Hanava. V'Rabbanan, so the Gemara says, but according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, what did the Rabbanan do with this pasuk Shalcha, or Lo Yera'el L'cha Sa'ar? So they say it means Shalcha Yataro, eh? Meaning that the Isser of Chametz, the Isser Hanoa of Chametz, is only your own Chametz. But Shal Achayim, I have no Isser. People sometimes make a mistake, no? They think that you have to walk around on Pesach with blinders, no? You have to, don't see any Chametz, right? What is the three monkeys, hear no evil, see no evil? I'm not going to see any Chametz. That's not true. But you're allowed to see the chametz of someone else. So that's what they do with the word shalcha. Li'ila, right? Now we're going back to Rabbi Yossi ben Gamliel. What does he do again? So he answers, Shrei Lacha Ksivim. It says Lacha twice. The Torah says, V'lo yira'eh Lacha Chameitz, V'lo yira'eh Lacha Sa'ar. It says Lacha twice. So one of them tells me that you cannot see or you cannot own your own stuff, but someone else's stuff is okay. And the other one tells me that's not also the Hanukkah. Shreya Lakshmi, V'ida. The other one says, Chad v'nachri shekiv shato, v'chad v'nachri shalom kiv shato. You see, when we say, Abba l'acharo v'shal achirim, v'shal gavo v'shal achirim, in this context really means you could see a goy's chavis, no? You're not in violation of any iser on the goy's chavis. So the Gemara says, I need the two lachas, because one refers to a goy shekiv shato, one refers to a goy that, so to speak, you control, and the other refers to a goy that you do not control. Meaning, I would have thought that there is an iser on to see a goy's chametz if it is a goy who is, so to speak, under your jurisdiction. The Torah says, nonetheless, shalcha, that any chametz of a goy is not aser. The idah. Right? And the Chachamim, they say, Tvasa uchaksivi. It says three times. Right? When you're Rashi, the three times it says, Lo yira'el chachamim, Lo yira'el chasa'ar, and Lo yira'el chasa'ar in a different area. Right? There are psukim in Parshas Emor and Parshas Rehit. The first two, Lo yira'el chachamim, Lo yira'el chasa'ar, in those are other Gemara. They are very good in terms of telling you where the psukim are. In my old fashioned Gemara that I just stole from the Beit Midrash of Crystal Ball, you have to remember what you saw before with the other Gemaras. Because basically, there are psukim in Parshas Parshas Emor and psukim in Parshas A. So those are three lachas. The Idah, Chad v'Sa'or, the Chad v'Chometz v'Tzrichim. The other one says that you need a pasuk by Sa'ar and by Chametz. Okay, ladies, pause. What is Sa'ar?
Sourdough.
Sourdough. Good. Did we do this already? Oh, man. Okay. So, listen, Baruch Hashem, remember, like, most people translate Sa'ar as yeast, but that's absolutely wrong. Sa'ar is sourdough. So I kind of told you my story. No? My favorite Mechiras Kavod Shaila ever?
About
what?
About sourdough.
About sourdough. Don't start her.
Tell us again.
Okay. That's very fun. So in my previous life when I was a shul rabbi, so a fellow in my shul comes to ask me a shaila. He's a Baal Tshuva. His parents were bakers out in the West Coast. And this dough starter, it's like worth its weight in gold. The stuff is, it's like very valuable. And they've had dough starter that they were growing for 20 some odd years. And they give it to their son, really nice guy. And he comes to ask a shaila. His parents aren't observant. That means that this stuff is sa'ar sha'ar alav 20 pesos. No? It's really big. Now, there is a discussion about chamesh sha'ar alav pesos. We pass into Knas Derabanan, right? Against the Tanya of Yehuda, who is referred to over here, we pass into Asa Midrabanan, not Asa Menatayra. There is one shita out there that we try not to rely on, that the Knas Derabanan only applies to someone who is kind of expected to get rid of the chametz. But if you have someone who's a mumar, if you have a Jew who's completely non-observant, so the Knas Derabanan doesn't apply to that person. That's a tshuva of Rav David Karolinger. In the Sefer She'ilah Masdot. I do try not to rely on that at all. So I told the guy, listen, you know, I can't say that there's nothing to rely on over here, but standard halacha is that this really expensive sourdough that your parents give you as a gift, you have to get rid of, no?
Is it also
Asar Gamalot? It's Asar Gamalot. Yeah. So there's nothing you can't even give it to somebody else as a gift because then you get benefit.
Like when you're maintaining sound or you're constantly like throwing it away and then replenishing it with new flour and water. So like at what point is it not actually the sourdough if you're constantly like there's such a tiny fraction of the original?
So the thing is this is a halakha yerideya called the Dabar HaMayimit, which is never bought. If something completely transforms something else, so the halakhic category of bittul does not apply.
Isn't that like Socrates' boat or something?
Yeah.
Socrates.
How about
Theseus?
You take apart a boat and rebuild it.
One panel at a time.
One panel at a time and rebuild it. Is it the same boat?
Like, yeah, that's the boat of Tarsus or something, right?
Yeah.
That's actually a suffix in the Gemara Shabbos in that book. About if you have a shoe that is tummy and you take off the sole of the shoe and you put a new sole on, you take off the shoelaces, you put new shoelaces, at what point does it lose its tumah or not? Like the whole thing is completely different. Right? So that's not exactly the issue of the sourdough, though, but it's similar. The point is that we need a pasuk lo yireh lachasa or lo yireh lachacha mate. Because Sa'ar and Chameitz, there's a Tzripa Zoh. What's a Tzripa Zoh? Why do we need Sa'ar and Chameitz? Why do we need both? So Rashi comments, if you look in Rashi, the third wide line, the Ikas of Sa'ar, Mishum Tachimutso Kasher, Avo Chameitz, Ema Mutter. Sa'ar is very, how would we translate Chimutso Kasher? It's I think it's like very pungent, hard to use, hard to eat. Right, that's what sa'ar is. If you bite into sourdough, it's like disgusting. Right? So if the type would say sa'ar, I would say by sa'ar, the iser is only on your stuff, not on someone else's stuff, because it's being so kasha. But maybe chametz of someone, one second, the ikas of sa'ar. I'm sorry, I said it backwards. Sa'ar, it can be machmet other stuff. That's kimitso kashe. It has the ability to make other stuff aser. So that's why sa'ar is a problem. But chomet should be mutter because of chomet, we shouldn't be right last people. Now, sa'ar, the law aser on mitle, ema lo other alay, fucking a fashion, fair common debate. Basically, the advantage of chametz is that it's edible. The advantage of sa'ar is chimutso kasher, which means it impacts on other stuff. I need a pasuk both of chametz and sa'ar because there is something unique to each of them. That's what the Gemara says. So basically, we have a kasha. Have a chametz. The Torah says, lo ye achel. And the answer is, we have a bunch of lachas. Sarah, you have a question?
Yeah. Which lachas are referring to what? Like, aren't they using some of the lachas multiple times?
So, let's go through this. There's lacha to tell me that it's mutter behanah, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Which is only necessary if you hold, like, Rabbi Yossi Hakalim, that it's mutter behanah.
Right.
According to the others, I have lacha that shokha I atarot have atarot lashah fair, that's one. I have, okay, thank you, Frima, for pointing that out. Appreciate it. We have L'cho, that we have L'cho, that it applies to a goy. Shalcha Iyat Shalcha Achayim, meaning Goyim, both who you have jurisdiction over and you don't. And I have another lacha that tells me chametz and sa'ar. Right, so is that three?
But then it's like it's using one of the lachas for chametz and one of the lachas for sa'ar that it was already using for saying Goyim
So I have, yeah, let's just put all the variables together. I have l'chol to tell me that it's mutter v'hanah, a point for b'yos yekli. Okay, so he uses one.
And why is there even a
halamina
for him that it would be aser v'hanah?
Why is the halamina should be aser v'hanah?
I think everyone agrees with that.
So again, the halamina is because the Torah says, well, yekal fail. That's why it should be aser
v'hanah. Right, so everyone agrees.
The baseline should be that chametz is aser v'hanah.
Okay.
Right, so Rabbi Yosef says, I have one lacha to tell me it's not aser v'hanah. Another lacha tells me that you are allowed to see the chametz of a goy, and apparently he does not distinguish between kivshato and lo kivshato. And the third lacha tells me chametz and sahar are both aser.
Yes, but when it says from the, the Rabbanan says chad v'chad, like one's teaching this and one's teaching that.
Right.
But for each of them, it says one's teaching this and one's teaching that. But like then it's reusing the same one to teach.
So I.
Otherwise, it sounds as if like there's five different teachings theoretically. Well, like from three to five, it sounds like.
It sounds like they're different. The first category is that is it aser v'hanah, is it not aser v'hanah?
That's
not from the lacha. That's only, well, no, according to Rabbi Yosef Aguilu, he uses lacha to tell me that it is not aser v'hanah, right? That's point one. The Chachamim use that lacha. They assume that really is aser v'hanah. So they tell me, shalcha'i atarua batara shalcha'i. Rabbi Yosef Aguilu also agrees to that because he has lacha number two, right? The Chachamim say, yeah, well, lacha number two tells me that there is no difference between nachish kivshato and nachish lo kivshato. And lacha number three, according to them, tells me chametz and sahar. Rav Yossi Hagalili, right, doesn't have a fourth one. So I'm assuming that according to Rav Yossi Hagalili, he just doesn't make any distinction between nachish kivshato and nachish lo kivshato. Right? There's really four terms that are being used. According to Yosef Hagalili, we only have three of them, right? But we have to have four things that we're learning out. Unless we're going to assume that one of them is very obvious and we don't learn it out. Did I totally convince
Which is what the Chachamim said.
Which is what the Chachamim... No.
The Chachamim don't mean that verse of Matzor Hanel.
They use that to say,
again, but Rav Yossi Hagalili himself needs three lachos, right? Mutra hana'a, shalchi atarva yamal atarva shalachayim, and nachish kivshato shalo kivshato, and chametz and sahar. So now I got a problem, I have four. And I'm supposed to only have three. Is that what's bothering you, Sarah? By the way, am I supposed to call you Sarah, Sarah? I always forget.
Sorry, but
I'm sorry. Yeah.
All good. No, I was saying because every time that it says like chad v'sohar, chad v'chametz, that it's like saying one of the lachas is to say this and one of the lachas is to say that. But it already said like the one before chad v'nafrei v'kishito v'chad v'nafrei shalo kishito.
Yeah.
But, like, because if it's using one of them to teach, it's using two of them already theoretically to teach one thing that's already saying the lochas for teaching. And then by the time you get to chametz and sahar, you read three lochas that you read the account for, and he's only mentioning two. And then one lochal was already mentioned, it exists, and we have
so
left it out.
Again, we're one short. I think we all agree that. So I think the answer is that ultimately the distinction between nachish kivshato and shalo kivshato was kind of a fleeting thought, but push comes to shove, the Torah says shalpati atarav atarav shalachemin, and we don't really distinguish between nachish kivshato and shalo kivshato. I think that's ultimately what emerges, but I don't know if I'm answering your problem.
No, like Rabbi Lily says that. We're talking about three lachas. And then the Rabbanan says, that's because we're talking about chametz versus sa'or. But
yeah.
If there's three lachas that it's accounting for, chametz versus sa'or is only two different Lechaz. It's saying one of the lechaz is
permitted. Oh, you're saying that one of
the word, there should be a
third. I see what you're saying. That's the three lechaz include chametz and sa'ar. The Torah says, when you're a lechaz chametz, you're a lechaz sa'ar, and when you're a lechaz sa'ar, you're a lechaz gulel. It's, there are two pesukim of sa'ar, one pesukim of chametz. So why do I need all of these lechaz?
Right. So what is... Because then you have two, like then having two lechaz would still teach you sa'or versus chametz. How do they answer that the third lechaz is teaching chametz versus sa'or if you like already could do it with the first two? Like you have an extra sa'or lechaz. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure I'm understanding.
Okay. They seem to be saying that one lechaz is teaching this and one lechaz is teaching that.
Yeah.
So if they already said like one lechaz was teaching like kishito and non kishito, right? And one that's like they've used up two. They've already said that these two lechaz have a purpose already. And then they're saying actually we're also talking about chametz versus sa'or. Are they reusing the same lechaz?
Yes.
Okay. So, but
so
we
still have a problem.
They have, yeah.
So that's the problem.
Either there are too many or there are too few.
Yeah,
they come in pairs.
Yes, the numbers don't work out. I agree with you. Right, we are in total agreement over here. The numbers are not working out because we're learning four things from three, and that's why I think that push comes to shove, this idea of kipshato versus low kipshato is kind of a fleeting thought. That's the way I'm understanding it. I did not really see not that I looked that carefully, but I did not really see Yishonim who address this issue. Okay, now the pashtus in our Gemara is we are asking a question according to who? This year Rabbi Yehovah. The whole Gemara about chametz. Dun, 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 dun. Anyone? Simple meaning of the Gemara. If you want, you can take a look at Taisus. The Pashas of the Gemara is asking for the Pashas because they're asking for the Pashas of Lo Ye Afel. Right? Lo Ye Afel means.
But that doesn't exclude Rabbi Abahu.
Right. Any question of Pashas is also a question of Rabbi Abahu. But we're even asking about this, right? We'll say it like that. And Tosus is bothered by a question. Okay, so then let's just cut to the chase. Write lo yochal and not say lo lechal. That's what Tosus is bothered by. Meaning Tosus is assuming that we are asking according to Chizkiyah. Let's just hold that and we'll come back to it, Abigail.
This might just be like a not important question, but why did this whole...
Again, yeah,
not the first thing that they ask.
Yeah, so often this happens in Shas, that it's like a set. It's a very, very long set. The only, again, the Mishnah speaks about it's three and we want to know how stuff is asparan and not. And then finally, we're upset. And by the way, how many comments?
No, but like, it started off like, oh, this year we're about to have something about comments. And then no one questions that there's,
the subject at hand, comments. Should itself be, yeah.
How did this not come up when we brought up like other pseudonym of Lozier and
Hashem? I mean, what I could say is that maybe we didn't ask it earlier in the Gemara because the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Hagalili that we're asking from is not an accepted opinion. Maybe Rabbi Yossi Hagalili says a chametz is mutter b'hanon on Pesach. That is not, that would make our lives so much easier, but it's not accepted. So now, but let's just hold the point. Now we're talking about Rabbi Yossi Hagalili, and the Pashtus in the Gemara is that we're asking according to Chizkiyah. Oh. Lema k'tanoim. The Gemara has, let's assume that there's a Machlokes Tanoim. The Torah is, with respect to the Issur of Chelev. Okay, there are two types of fat on the animal. There is kosher fat, which we call shuman, and there is treif fat, which is called chelev. The fact that was brought on the Mizbeach, which the Pesukim in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayikra, anyone up to there yet? In Shnei Mikra Tatara. The Parsha's Vayikra, the Torah says that the fat that goes on the Mizbeach is the Chelev al HaKlayos. On top of the kidneys, there's a little bit of fat. And then there's the Chelev on the Kerek. And basically, if you ever take an animal and you cut it right down the midline, you will see it's beautiful. It mamish looks like silk. There is a covering of chelev that covers the entire innards of the animal. That is what went on the Mizbeach. It's, by the way, it's beautiful. It mamish, again, it's disgusting, but same time it's beautiful. But that is chelev. Now, that's the trefet. The fat that covers the all of the internal organs is covered by the fat. You slice it through and you can see the internal organs. The other fat that is not the chelev on the tereb and the chelev on the kloyos is what's called shumah. The fat that does not go on the mizbeach is kosher fat. So if you buy a piece of pastrami, there's fat on the pastrami, no? Is it kosher? We hope so, because we eat it, right? How's it kosher? The answer is that is fat. It's chemically the same stuff, but it is called shuma, it's not called chelev. The Torah, with respect to the Isra of chelev, it says, ve'asel l'chol l'cha, which means you can do whatever you want with it. Right? Ma'atam l'chol l'chol l'cha. The Gemara is asking that that word l'chol is an extra word. The chelev of the chelev, the chelev of the chelev, the aser lechol melacha. That word chol is extra. And there's a malachus hatanoim here. What does that word lechol tell me? Reb Yossi Haglili says that it is even mutter for melachas hediot. That I'm even allowed to take chelev and let's say use it to shine my own stuff. Not only is chelev mutter for melechas gavola, but it's even mutter for melechas hediot. That's what Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Akiva says that the pasuk l'chol melacha tells me that chelev is going to be tahor. It is not tummy.
Well, if it's on the
Mizbeah,
doesn't it have to be tahar?
If it's on the Mizbeah, it has to be tahar. Anything that goes on the Mizbeah is going to be tahar. But that chelev that should go on the Mizbeah, one second, according to Rabbi Akiva, if I have some skin, the chelev itself is supposed to go on the mizbeach. The skin that became shined from that chelev, which went on the mizbeach, I would think that that is tamei, just like nevela is tamei, and therefore it can make other stuff tamei. You're right, the stuff that goes on the mizbeach itself is tamei. Right? There's a special observance that goes, you put it on the mizbeach, of course it can't be tamei. But the residual stuff, I don't think it's tummy. I think that's why Rashi works, no?
Wait, but it looks like Rabbi Yosef really says,
Rabbi Yosef really says that we're talking about Isser Hanukkah. That the Pasuk L'chol Melacha tells me that even that there is no Isser Hanukkah on Klingon, even for a head. According to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk l'chol melacha tells me that there is no tumah, even right. There is no tumah, even l'gavola. There's no tumah. Stuff that is hektish is more susceptible to tumah than stuff that is chulin. Ordinarily, in tumah tahara, I have. Let's say I'll start with Aviyah Bolsa Tumah, the mace itself, a person touches the maize, he or she becomes an adatuma. The person touches something else, that thing becomes a rishon. That something touches something, that becomes a sheni. And usually it stops there. But by hektish, you go by truma, you go to shlishi, and by touching, you go to revi. So by hektish, there is more tuma. So I would have thought that the thalim that would be tamei for purposes of hektish, that it's not tamei. So according to Rabbi Yossi and Gamliel, it's about Isra Hanoa. According to Rabbi Akiva, it is about tuma. And the Gemara explains this whole thing. Rabbi Yossi and Gamliel says that I don't need a pasuk for tuma and tahara. Pasuk is only for Isra and Hetter. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need a pasuk for Isra and Hetter. Pasuk is only for tuma and tahara. Then the Gemara comments, my love, I'll look for the top 11 days. Rabbi Yossi and Gamliel feels Lo tochlu would imply achila and hanaa. Mimela, the pasuk of Ye'asel with chol melacha tells me it's mutter b'hanaa. Rabbi Akiva holds that it only applies to Isra achila. It does not apply. When the Torah says pochela shor v'sev, whatever lo tochlu, according to Rabbi Akiva, presumably lo tochlu means only Isra achila, not Isra hanaa. Mimela, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that it's mutter b'hanaa. So the pasuk talks about tuma, not iser. So the Gemara is saying that the machlokes Piski Yonan Rabbi Avahu presumably is the same machlokes Rabbi Yossi Hagliwi and Rabbi Akiva. You're thinking something.
Because didn't I ask a question before, and then we said that everyone agrees? I know that they were Japanese Halvamina, but I'm saying, didn't I ask a question before, and I don't remember what the question was, but I asked a question, and the answer was no, because everyone agrees that Lo Yachal actually means...
No, because the Gemara earlier seemed like it was asking a question according to Chizkiya, right? The question by Chonitz, the Torah says... By Chomets Lo Ye'afel, so the simple flow of the Gemara is that we're asking the point of Chizkiya. And Tosfos says, well, it sounds like we're asking the point of Chizkiya, and Tosfos asks Akasha, well, why the point of Chizkiya, why doesn't the Torah just write Lo Yochal and skip the whole of that, right? So we're assuming that we're going to Chizkiya. And we were going within Rabbi Yossi HaGlili in the Chomets Gemara. So comes along, so you're asking, Abigail's asking, 1 second. But in the next Gemara, 4 lines later, we have Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili goes with Rabbi Avo. When 5 lines before, or 8 lines before, whatever, we were saying that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is in Chizkiya. Is that your question?
No, but... Good question.
If that would be your question, it would be awesome. If it's not your question,
okay.
It's a good question. It's a good question. The Maharsha asks this kasha, and doesn't really answer it. Or the Maharsha kind of says that bottom Tosfos on Chafkimo Amir Aleph, the Tosfos is a foil. Right? The Tosfos basically is saying, well, according to this Chizkiya, can't the Torah just skip Lo Ye'afel and skip Lo Yochal and everything will be granted? Right? That's what Tosfos says. The Maharsha says, you know what Tosfos really means? Right? Tosfos asks the kasha and doesn't answer. Says the Maharsha, what that means is that we're not going according to this deal. Tosfos's question is, right, according to Chizkiya, don't they have an easy out? The Maharsha answers, yeah, I'll tell you the solution. The solution is we're not going according to Chizkiya, and I'll prove it to you, because the author of the Gemara by Chometz is Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili cannot be going according to Chizkiya, because the Gemara 4 lines from the Gemara at the top of the base is saying Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is within Rabbi Abba.
But we don't hold like Romeo said, Willie. We hold like Romeo Judah.
We hold.
So how can we be rejected?
One second. In the tree by coming, we hold like.
Rabbi
Yehuda. We hold like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda.
So then how could we be rejected? Because if we're avoiding Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi and Chizkia over there, how can we be rejected? Because if we reject Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi.
One second. Just because I reject her, just because Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi winds up with Chizkia, doesn't mean that if I reject Rabbi Yosef Uni, I'm automatically rejecting Chizkia. Right? Chizkia
okay.
Doesn't have to be Rabbi Yosef
Uni. So why does the Rambam say that we're rejecting Chizkia?
Well, the Gemara on going from Chafkim Amaras to Chafkim Amaras assumes that Machlokes Rabbi Yosef HaGalili and Rabbi Akiva about Chelev, whether Chelev is. When the Torah says "V'chol Malacha by Chela," is that teaching me something about Isser Achila / Hanaa, or is it teaching me something about Tuman Tahara? Rabbi Yosef really says it is teaching about Isser Achila Hanaa. That would imply that Rabbi Yosef really, the way the Gemara sets it up, holds like Rabbi Abba. Right? That's the Gemara's kasha. But we're bothered. One second, Rabbi Yosef really holds like Rabbi Abba. In the previous Gemara, we were saying Rabbi Yosef had Galili within Chizkia. If he holds a Rabbi Yavahu, what's right? That's what the Maharsha is getting at. And this sort of is the point that we were making beforehand, which is that any Kasha according to Chizkia is also a Kasha according to Rabbi Yavahu, by definition. So although the Gemara about Hamid sounds like Chizkia, but in reality, it's about Rabbi Yehuda.
Isn't that Rashi said?
Is that Rashi said? Yeah, Rashi uses the word Rabbi Yehuda somewhere, no?
Yeah, leaving the tenna, but then it's only once we start talking about Chela.
In?
Leiman Kintanayim.
Which Rashi?
Leiman Kintanayim. Don't talk about Rabbi Yehuda.
Leiman Kintanayim, and we'll talk about Rabbi Yehuda. Right. In other words, well, that's clear. That Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara wants to say Rabbi Abba is not like the Satan. Yeah. Right, that's clear. Okay, so far so good. We're ready to go on, Kafra? These Gemaras are not easy, but. Okay, they're not easy. I'm not even going to finish the sentence. Not easy. Love. The Gemara said 7 lines from the top. Lo, tukuliyama, lo tohu mashma benis rachila, benis rachila. Everybody, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, with respect to Chelev, agree with Rabbi Yavahu that lo tohu means Israchila and Israhanava. Lo hoka bahaka mislegi. Rabbi Yosef HaGalili sabar, kishabutra nevela, he butra chalva the giga, lo hutru. Vithi itra Rabbi Akiva Savar, Kitchabutra Nevema, Koba Vigida, Nani Hutru, Vichichra, Tumatahara. The Gemara is saying that everybody holds like Rabbi Yavahu, that Lotokal teaches both Israfila and Israhanaa. The only thing is that the Torah also says that Nevema is Mutter Bahanaa. Right? We had that at the beginning of our sutra, that lo tocho kol nevela, I garashe v'sharecha t'nena b'chala, you should give the nevela away. A nevela is a dead animal. What is included in the dead animal? I apologize for the graphicness of this conversation, but is the gid hanosha considered part of the carcass of the animal? Right? That's a conversation we had earlier. That relates to whether Yesh Begin and Menosian Tam. But now we're asking, is the Chelev part of the carcass of the animal? When the Torah says that the Vela is not Aser Bahanoa, does that mean that Chelev is also not Aser Bahanoa? So Rabbi Akiva says that Chelev is included in the Vela. So when the Torah says that the Vela is a Mutter, Rabbi Yossi Agnelli says, no, Chaylov is not included in the Vela. And therefore, I need another pasuk to tell me, Lachkol Malacha, that Chaylov is Mutter Bahanava. So far, so good? Now, why would Chaylov be included in the Vela or not included in the Vela? Given how much I understand, depends on whether I'm asking Yesh to give them in Osei Tam or any given in Osei Tam. Which we noted, right? Rashi commented, the gid certainly has some flavor. The question is, does it have flavor of basar? Right? That was what Rashi said on Chaf Beis, wherever we encounter that Gemara. But why would I say that Nevela includes Chaylev or does not include Chaylev? So look at Rashi. What does Rashi say at the top of the page? Why is Chaylev not included in the day one?
It's not
Basar at all. It's not Bichlal Basar, right? That's what Rashi says? Chaylev is not Bichlal Basar. Can anyone explain this to me? Why is fat not meat?
It's not flesh.
It's not flesh. So isn't this a little bit strange? The gid, right, which is a sinew, is more, according to one opinion, that yesh begin in the middle of the gid is basar, but the chaylev is not. It's a little bit hard here. And especially because the only reason why gid might not be the chal basar is because it doesn't taste like anything. Chaylev tastes very much like meat. So it's hard to know what this means, and I saw two explanations. One explanation that I saw is that chayla, if you ask me where I'll start, I'll tell you I have absolutely no recollection of my source. But one explanation is that the fat of an animal is intended ordinarily to use as fuel for fires rather than for consumption. Is that true? They used to make candles out of chayla. That they take the fat and they make it into a candle. So it's not the chal basar in the sense of it's not ordinarily eaten, as opposed to the gid, where it's very time consuming to traber the animal. So people would end up eating the gid. The chaylev is very discernible. You just make like three cuts, the whole thing comes off. And people don't eat it. So one part is that it is, right, so one star is that, what's it called? One star is that the chaylev is not included in the basar because chaylev is not intended to be eaten. That's one star. The other star is sort of hinted at by Rekita Eger and in the Dunyan Hashas on the side of the page. Effectively, when an animal is born, it does not have very much chaylev on it. As the animal grows older, it increases in its girth, and chaylev grows. As opposed to gid hanoshe, which is born with the animal, the chaylev is not born. That's what Reb Kiva Eger notes. Kosher, according to the Tosfos and Chulin, the meaning gid hanoshe, the chaylev who dechadoshen garmi, dechsid chaylev shor. It takes months for the chaylev to grow with the animal. Or a better way of saying is that the Torah says chaylev shor, right? Only when it becomes a shor, only when it's older, is there an isser chaylev. But beforehand, there's no isser chaylev. Before it's older. Gid hanoshe exists straight away. So therefore, I would say that the Nevela, the dead animal, that could be an animal of any age. Chaylev is not included in Nevela because a baby animal might not have any chaylev, as opposed to a baby animal definitely has a given notion. Right, so that's the other explanation. But basically, the way the Gemara is setting it up, there is a machlokes or Yossi Hagwili and Rabbi Akiva as to whether Chelev is included in the Heter Nevela. When the Torah says that Nevela is Mutter Mahanala, does that include Chelev? So then the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yossi Hagwili, Ashbuchon Chelev to Shari Rachman Mahanala. Elagid the Usser, Elagid name of the Usser. Right? Again, Rabbi Yossi Hagwili says that the words Nevela, when the Torah says Nevela is Mutter, that does not include the Chelev and the Gid. So Chelev is Mutter Bahanala because the Torah says L'chalwa. Gid, right? Maybe Gid is going to be. Chelev is mutter b'hanocha, says l'cholulah. What about gid? How do you know gid is mutter b'hanocha? Maybe gid hanocha is aser b'hanocha. So it has two approaches. One approach is, yeah, iba is eba b'chanami the aser. We already had a Tana of Shimon who said that gid hanocha is aser b'hanocha. Right? The Gemara says that if you hold that ein b'gidim b'nosein tam, you're not allowed to give the gid to the guy, right? So we already have a time that Gid HaNosha is Aser B'Hanala. So if Yossi Hagwili would agree with that, well, that's one approach. Iba Yisema, Maisa Lo B'Kal B'Chomer. The second approach in the Gemara is, Rabbi Yossi Hagwili holds that Gid HaNosha is Mutter B'Hanala based on the Kal B'Chomer. Uma Hila Sh'Onosh Kareis Mutter B'Hanala, Gid She'Emo Anosh Kareis Lo Kol She'Kein. Chelev has karmis with it. In fact, you're only chayav the carbon chatos if you eat something or if you do something that would have a chiyuv of karmis. The stam of carbon chatos in Shas is called a chatos chelev because the thing that people would do most often to warrant bringing the carbon chatos, the iser karmis that people did most often, would be eating chelev, because chelev was just around the house all the time. Chelev has an isur karis, but even so, chelev is mutter b'hanala. So therefore, kal v'chomer gid that does not have an isur karis should certainly be mutter b'hanala. So again, there are two versions of the Rabbi Yossi Hagwili. Either Rabbi Yossi, says that chelev is mutter b'hanala because of pasuk v'chol. You might ask, what about gid? So either Enochanami Gid is Aser B'Hanala, or he has a Kavachayma. If Chelev, which is an Iser Kareis, is Mutter B'Hanala, so Gid should certainly be Mutter B'Hanala. Now, let me ask, well, one second, we have a Kavachayma. What about Rav Shimon? Rav Shimon the Aser. Rav Shimon says that Gid is Aser B'Hanala. How can it be Aser B'Hanala? What about the Kavachayma? Iko Mifra, Malachil, Shkain, Kutum, Makwolo, Iser, Chayo. There is no Isser of Chelev on a Chaya. There's an Isser of Chelev only on a Behemah. There's a difference between wild animals and domestic animals. Two differences. One difference is in terms of Kisui Hadam, no? There's only Kisui Hadam on a Chaya, on an oif and a chaya, there's kisui adam, there's no kisui adam on the behemoth. The other difference is that chelev is only aser by a behemoth, there's no iser chelev by a chaya. That's the, those are psukim in the
Torah. Can you bring a chaya as a carbon?
Was there any chaya that was brought as a carbon? I don't think so. Again, yeah, does that work out? In other words, there is no Isser Chelev by a Chaya. Yeah, that makes sense. Because the Isser Chelev is that fat that would go on the Mizbeah. Nothing of a Chaya would go on the Mizbeah. Okay, that works.
So
we dodged the bullet. Okay.
Wait,
yeah.
So then there's no Chelev that's Tahor? I mean, there's no Chaya that's Tahor?
There is a hybrid. I can eat a deer.
Oh,
it's a kosher animal. And it's different than an animal that can be brought under this ban from an animal that's kosher.
You can eat the
chalal
of the deer.
You can eat the chalal of the deer. There is no iser chalal on a chayav.
Okay.
The iser chalal is only on the behemoth. Right? So.
Because chalal is only offered because it could have a potential guard on the grass.
The simen of the chalal that is usher is the stuff that could go on the mizbeach. That's right.
So something that can go on the mizbeach would never have a din of being usher.
Correct. I heard this explanation years ago from Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, who, in addition to being like the Rashi Ben Tarbet Das, he was one of the two postmen for the OU, Rav Schechter and Rabbi Belsky, the postman for the OU. Rabbi Belsky was like the expert in animals and shkita. Like, I remember one time I had a shiloh on a chicken on a Friday afternoon. Like, you buy your chicken and there's like a yucky thing on it. So I bring it over to a chef's house, like, Rebbe, like, is the chicken kosher? So he said, I don't know. I'm in charge of milking. Don't see this place. Like,
that's so funny.
It was like a totally random thing. And then, like, the Rebbitzin comes up. She's like, why don't you want to eat it? And this isn't. Okay. That's the story. But yeah, Rabbi Belsky is the one who explained it this way. Like when I did like a Kashrus seminar in the OU, I heard this explanation. And it actually works, I think. That the Isser Chaylev is because we're going to the day. So basically, what the Gemara is saying is like this. According to Rabbi Yossi Hagaliwi, the word Mechol Olacha tells me that Chaylev is Mutter Bahanah, meaning that Chaylev is not included in the Vela. What about the Gid HaNosha? Two possibilities. Either Gid HaNosha is absolutely Asurana, according to Rabbi Sanguinway, like Rabbi Shimon says, or it is a Kalvachol. That if Chaylev has an Isser Kares and it still is Motzeh HaNosha, Gid that has no Isser Kares certainly should be Motzeh HaNosha. That's the Gemara. Now, Tosis is, of course, bothered by Kashas. Like, 1 second, there's a million things on this planet that are Asur HaNosha and are not Achiv Kares. That's the top places who's bothered by Akash. It's like a little bit of a technical point in terms of reading the Gemara, but let's just read three more lines of the Gemara and then we'll stop. Rib Shimon to us, I go to Mifra, Malachel, Shankain, Hutter Makolo, Etochaya. Tell my begin, Shalom, Hutter Makolo, Etochaya. Right? That Baylev can't be learned. You can't make this called a homer, chaylev to give, because there's no iser chaylev by a chay, the ida, the behema kamina, the behema miha lo ishtari. We're talking about a behema, and by a behema, there is no heter of chaylev. Okay? The pasuk says, chaylev shor v'chesed. Shor v'chesed is a sheep and a so whatever, those things are behemos in achayis. Fine, that's the Gemara. Tomorrow night, in Yirtz Hashem, we'll pick up from Mechdeh. How many of you got further than what I'm up to in the Gemara so far? Anyone? Everyone's embarrassed.
Define what got further means.
What? Okay.
I think probably that's a no to your question.
Like, did I read until the word Yati? Yes.
So we're going to try to read on the Gemara and try to. The Gemara is not that simple, and it's not that much longness until we get to Chavdalah on the Aleph. There's going to be some more longness. I will just keep on reading in the Gemara. But we never, I'll send out some additional cover, a small report tomorrow. When we didn't do this process by night yet, we'll talk about that briefly. Okay, ladies. Everyone should have a wonderful evening.
Yeah.
Go on, keep the faith.